Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, lore folk, Ethan here. Just wanted to give a quick heads up that this episode features some gruesome details. It's one of our gorier episodes, I guess you could say. So if you get squeamish around topics like that, then you might want to just take care of yourself while listening to this episode. Thanks.
There, it's the Lore Boys, your friendly your podcast that's about the fake history
all year.
Yeah, my name's James Miller, and today I am joined with
I'm Ethan all year long Palmer.
Nice.
I'm Peter Biannual O'Donoghue.
Okay, that can mean twice a year or once every 2 years, depending on who you ask.
I hate it. Okay, once every 2 years, yeah. Should be semi-annual. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, I think those flower people, they ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say I'm a very progressive flower person, so biannual is because I use a Gregorian calendar and a moon calendar.
Gotcha.
I go both ways. I have no idea what day of the week it is, of course.
So to Peter, you would consider me a perennial?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
Like the flower, because you're so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the fact that it can mean 1 year or once every two, or once per twice per year or once every 2 years is an anomaly.
Sure,
and
is.
We're going to talk about anomalous stuff today because we are talking about SCP again.
Yeah. after our weekend live stream for the mailbag episode with about 170 requests for more SCP lore, we buckled.
Yeah. It was three people, but 170 emails.
Yeah.
The people who love SCP really love SCP. Yeah. So.
We got 170 requests for SCP lore, so we're doing more SCP lore, and we got three requests for more Warhammer lore, so I will be doing more Warhammer lore.
Yeah, and we've got multiple requests for the Halo the Flood, so I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Get fucked.
Classic biannual Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Caught him on the off year.
So the topic today, we did like kind of the broad strokes SCPs from the beginning, explaining the different classes and some of the better known ones like the giant lizard or the cement guy that you got to look at all the time or else you'll snap your neck.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be talking about some people who work for the Foundation, centering around Dr. Jack Bright, who's the most well-known, and some of his family.
He's from the Bright Stripes, right? Him and his sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she plays the drums, he guitar and sings.
Yeah. They did that song, Seven Monstrosity Army.
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually an SCP because every single person who picks up and tries to learn the guitar has to learn that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would make Smoke on the Water an SCP as well.
Yeah, true. Probably.
True.
Right.
Yeah. So Dr. Jack Bright... he is well known within, if you know SCP, you probably know about him. He's an immortal. He's been through a lot of stuff in the SCP Foundation. But to get to know who he is today, we're going to start off with his family, the Bright family.
Okay.
Okay.
Like his parents or his wife and kids?
His parents first.
Okay.
Yeah. His dad was around like in the 1800s, starting out the whole SCP Foundation. His parents are like very much a part of the Foundation.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's like a nepotism thing.
He got the
immortality because his dad owns the business.
Right. Something like that. We're going to get into why he's immortal.
Okay.
His dad worked really hard at the SCP Foundation, but didn't get the best outcome. I don't know too much about his mother, but I know a bit more about his siblings.
Well, in the 1800s, a lady could not learn science.
Yeah.
That'd be therefore ridiculous, and this whole SCP thing wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're if you're interested in like the background of what an SCP Foundation is, it's like a fan fiction. You can go and look up SCP and a number, and it'll be some anomalous thing that the SCP Foundation is interested in keeping contained. They keep all the magic in the world contained so nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, like greasy guys in Speedos that can appear in your bed post-coitus.
Right. Or monsters that can grow to an infinite size and want to destroy everything.
Yeah. Tomato, yeah. Potato.
Exactly.
Now, I know which one I'd rather.
Sorry, I was going to ask, you don't happen to know when the original Dr. Bright post like went up on SCP, do you?
No.
1804.
Okay. He's very, like, if you go to Dr. Jack Bright's page, there is so much fan fiction surrounding him.
Right.
The number of siblings that he has is, like, depending on who you ask, is completely different. Because one of the big tropes is, like, people like to bring in another member of the Bright family and write a story about that.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you ask me, he's got 69 siblings.
Okay. So his parents, who made these siblings, are Dr. Adam and Evelyn Bright. And they're both doctors at the foundation.
That's Adam and Eve. That's great writing, guys.
And they did a lot. Yeah. They did a lot of fucking. I mean, Adam and Eve gave birth to what, 7 billion people? So
there's a lot of kids. Okay. So they say that Dr. Adam was very busy, and depending on who you ask, there's a different amount of kids. But the ones we can say that are for sure around, and the ones we'll talk about a bit today, are TJ, Michael, but spelled M-I-K-E-L-L, like Mickle.
M-I-K-E-L-L?
Yeah.
That is a weird way to spell Michael.
And Claire Pierce. I don't know why she changed her name. We're only going to briefly go over her.
Maybe she got married, Jamie.
To a Frenchman. Yeah.
Yep. Pierce? And then another sister known only as SCP-321. So we'll get into why she and what she is.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Bright family is like a huge part of SCP. Like if you wanted to write your own SCP story, you might choose one members of the Bright family or make like a cousin that nobody knew about, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Their
tales are usually quite grim. They don't have the best luck.
Well, I mean, he's immortal.
Yeah, we'll see if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
You're bound to run into a lot of bad news if you're going to outlive everybody you've ever loved.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's part of the game. I mean, it's like working at a job, knowing you're going to work at the same job for the rest of your life. Like you have to build up a callous shell around yourself to protect you.
Right. And Dr. Bright, Dr. Jack Bright, he ends up being like the most eccentric, but very loyal to the SCP Foundation later on. He's kind of like the heart of the foundation. Since he's immortal, he could be there from near the beginning to the very end. So.
Yeah.
Before we even get into him, he has a little brother named TJ Bright. And that's the first picture I sent to you guys. It's like a little ginger kid. He's got long hair. He's got a cute little sweater on. He looks like a normal young boy.
Yeah, when you first posted it, I thought you were posting an old picture of your younger brother.
Right? He kind of looks like he could be related to me, right?
Yeah.
It looks like a mix of my brother Mark and Cameron together.
Yeah, I definitely see that.
Yeah.
Weird, dude.
It is weird.
Are you
right?
Jack Bright?
I could be Jack Bright. I haven't. Can't rule it out.
Well, what if you just write yourself in as one of the siblings that shows up when the will is being fought over? But apparently, the rest of the family does. It's just like Jamie Bright.
Some sort
from
of
what
supposed
I've learned about. I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, you did say they have bad luck. So.
Yeah. So TJ, he's a long-haired, scruffy young boy, and his abilities are first discovered when he's young. And when he's young, he has the ability to turn this on and off. But as he gets older, it becomes always on. Like he can't. He always does this thing that he does.
Boners. It's puberty.
Yeah, exactly.
Duh.
We've talked a lot about magic puberty on this show.
Yep.
So once he hit puberty, he couldn't control his powers anymore.
Nice.
And his powers is that he can heal any ailment, physical or mental, on another person just by touching them.
Oh no, okay. My healing beam won't turn off.
My luck is a bright.
Yeah.
Yeah. The downside is whatever he heals, he takes on that ailment himself.
Oh.
So if someone had cancer and he touched them, he'd be full of tumors.
Oh, I think I have this power because, so you guys are familiar with chlamydia, right? Like,
yes.
I'm pretty sure that's how it happened for me because I was curing them. And anyway.
Yeah. There was someone at a bar. She looked just like Abby Shapiro. Couldn't say no.
Can't say no.
He's like kind of a shittier version of John Coffey from The Green Mile, where at least he doesn't have to, like, you know, get kidney stones from Tom Hanks. They just turn into a swarm of flies that burst forth from his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you prefer, kidney stones or the fly cloud?
I'll take fly cloud.
Yeah.
I think. Me too. Over pushing jagged stones through my urethra? I don't want to yuck anyone's yum. If that's your thing, if you love kidney stones, hey, more power to you. But
you know, kidney flies could be a cool party trick.
Yeah.
So you like piss out a bunch of flies?
Like chicken
out
flies? Yeah.
That would be weird.
So TJ, he has this really amazing power where you can heal people, but he takes on their ailments. The Foundation saw this power as being very valuable, so he was taken against his will as by the SCP Foundation. And I mean, he was used to heal people just for the SCP Foundation.
Is he immortal, though? Because, like, you heal one person with a terminal illness, and it's like, game over. That doesn't seem that valuable to me.
Seems like a waste of your Wonderkin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy gets rid of the common cold. Like, sure, that's good, but I don't know if we have to kidnap him.
Yeah. Yeah. Just open a fucking clinic.
Yeah.
Like, take appointments.
So they're using him, like, he can die. He can die, 100% can die. Okay. But they're using him for whatever situations, like, I don't know, someone's got mono, but they really need them to get to work the next day or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Okay. So, because I was going to say, his powers, I guess how they discovered them is just like, oh, your buddy you shook hands with had a cold and now you have a cold, but he got over his cold first. It's like, you must have cured him.
Yeah.
Life imprisonment in a laboratory for you, kid. It's like, I just got sick after my buddy.
Yeah.
So I guess they were tactically using him in ways that like would keep him alive, but it got to a point where he's taken on so many ailments at once that he was bedridden and on the verge of death, hooked up to a ventilator. So they could just keep him alive mechanically and he could just keep on taking ailments, but he was getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Okay.
It's pretty awful stuff. But so now the Foundation saw they're about to lose their guy. So they gave him one unit of SCP-500 to save his life. SCP-500 is basically a bottle of miracle pills that just fix anyone. And there's like 60 of them at the beginning, and it's every time they take one for whatever reason, it's listed in the SCP Foundation wiki. Okay. We're down to 47.
Find one out, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's only used on like ultra, ultra valuable stuff. Like even if you're like your wife's dying and you work at the Foundation, you can't just take one.
Like, but there has to be a really he good is one. So for curing diseases, if you guys have this miracle pill, now I'm starting to get it because now he is the wish multiplier. The wish for more
value,
wishes,
yeah.
Right?
You can take on just enough to almost die, and then one pill will fix like many people instead of one, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Just like sprint, because even like, even the most like virulent pathogens, it's not like you die instantly. You know, it's not like you get, you know, you don't get typhoid and then the next day you're dead. It's like, it eats away at you. So you could probably stack up a good number of them before.
Yeah. If a whole village got typhoid, he could touch the whole village and take it on by himself. Then
well,
take
here's
the pill.
The question. Would he take, does he get the symptoms or and they're unique to him? Like on the subject of typhoid, Typhoid Mary, it notoriously asymptomatic. It wasn't on her resume. That's why she kept getting hired and killing rich people with typhoid. If he cured Mary of typhoid, would he too be asymptomatic?
I guess that depends on who's writing the story. If you're writing the story, you got to decide.
True.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I always forget that part of these episodes. Okay, so does he get, if he takes on typhoid for the whole village, and let's say everybody's symptomatic, just to keep it simple, does he get, like, is it double typhoid? Does he triple typhoid? Like, does it stack, or are we saying it's...
I didn't read enough stories about him, but all I know is he takes illnesses on from other people. So I guess it's up to our interpretation how it works.
Like Ethan, you're projecting some sort of typhus debt owed to the universe, where it's just like the disease is expected 100 people to have diarrhea, and it's gonna get its 100th
diarrhea. Yeah, karmic diarrhea, if you will.
But I don't think like if you get AIDS, you have AIDS. I don't think you can get double AIDS. You know?
Yeah. I mean that's the question. Like,
I could hire two people, but are you talking about something else?
So I mean, he really should be. So okay. So then, if you get vaccinated, so I have Hep A and Hep B shots, or Hep B and Hep C shots, I think. So if I could still contract the virus, right? But my body just knows how to deal with it. So if he gets vaccinated, does his body know how to deal with it if he's taking it on from someone else? I have to assume no on that one.
Yeah.
Just be less interesting.
It's up to you, dude. You get to decide. This is the fun of a fan fiction universe.
Just give this guy, give this guy the goddamn COVID vaccine and fucking have him do his tours and like.
Yeah. They mention. I actually found a mention of COVID, and then I'm going to mention later in the episode. Sure. They wrote it in.
I love how the scientific foundation was just like, no, we have a limited supply of magical pills. We're not going to vaccinate our kid who can cure anything against common illnesses. We'll just fix him when he's almost broken.
Yeah. So he only ever used one. There's 47 of these pills left starting at about 60. So there's been about 13 times they've needed to use them. Yeah. That could be a whole episode in itself.
Those 13?
Yeah, exactly. So back to our main interest, Dr. Jack Bright. We know the brother exists and that's what he's doing. He's living in the SCP Foundation and basically being tortured with other people's illnesses.
Yeah, get taking everybody's paper cuts basically in the office.
Yeah. Jack, Jack's already immortal at this point. We're kind of jumping forward and we'll jump back again. Sure. He saw his brother suffering and he was all too aware with the burden that he had to take on everyone's illnesses. So as an act of mercy, he brought in a string of people with very low IQ levels or developmental delays and had him fix like their brain issues and take them on himself. So he just made his brother like deaf and dumb so he couldn't feel all of this
brain
damage
dead.
He was taking.
That's a horrible solution.
I don't know if that's I don't know if I want that. You know, that's
if you had to take on everybody's problems, would you want to feel it? Because he did it to the point where it seemed like he wasn't in pain anymore. But I don't know.
It just seems like we're at a point where Mr. Bright, Jack Bright, Dr. Jack Bright is pretty high up in the SCP organization. Why does he pull some fucking strings and get his brother out of there?
Well, Jack Bright's father tried to get his sister out of there to no avail. Yeah, we'll talk about that, actually.
I guess they're pretty good at securing and containing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so much
the protecting, from what I can see.
So pretty sad stuff. Pretty sad stuff. And another bright family story from before TJ's near death.
It was a dark story.
Yeah. TJ is still a young kid taking on everybody's problems at this point. TJ is not near dead, deaf, or dumb. And Jack Bright's parents, Adam and Evelyn, had a stillborn baby, which is really sad. But Adam wanted desperately to save his daughter, so he asked TJ to touch the baby. And it brought the baby back to life. Yeah.
Like, what?
With his own son, basically.
Like, what? And the guy already has 67 other kids. Like,
yeah.
What the hell, dude?
What the fuck? Yeah, I was gonna say, because she was stillborn. It's like, yeah, we get the bright stripes to collab with the Black Label Society for stillborn.
Yeah.
So does he become stillborn as an adult?
So it's not clear. They don't really go into detail. They say that there was damage to TJ, but what was really interesting was what happened to. We'll throw up a content warning at the beginning or something too. This is another horror episode, so this is weird, like ugly stuff that we talk about.
Horror stuff.
Yeah. The damage to TJ wasn't clear. We could say that he turned into a stillborn half baby or something, but what really happened was the daughter became SCP-321. And as she grew up, they found out that she wasn't really human at all. She had extraordinary regenerative abilities. Because of an abundance of stem cells,
I was going to say.
Yeah. So this is the second picture I sent to you guys. She grew to be 10 feet tall. She had very little muscle mass. So her elongated body was held up with splints and supports.
Exoskeleton.
That would kind of like tear into her, but she would heal over them. Gotcha. She looks really creepy.
She's a nightmare. Yeah. She looks kind of like a skeleton with like kind of muscle shrink wrapped over her.
Yeah.
She looks like your little brother too, Jamie.
she was above 10 feet tall and she was always growing. She was growing so big that her human heart couldn't support her anymore, so they put in a mechanical heart. They wanted to keep her alive to study her. And
that's an interesting detail. The tallest man in the world died of heart failure because his heart couldn't pump blood far enough throughout his body.
Yeah. I was like reading something. It's like for every pound you gain, like the amount of blood that needs to be pumped through your entire body is like an extra like half a mile of veins or whatever. It's like a crazy number.
Yeah.
Just because 3D is like much longer than 2D.
Yeah. It's 1D longer, right?
Yeah. And trust it's a funny thing to say, but it's true. Whenever you bring things out into 3D, it just makes a lot.
Hey,
need a lot longer.
Jamie, I know you know a thing or two about long Ds, okay? You know how long that D is.
One more. So Jack Bright's father, Adam, he was really devastated by this because his daughter and son were both confiscated by the SCP Foundation at this moment, kind of thing. So
does he
lost
the foundation? I'm sorry, yes?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Okay.
So he never stopped seeing SCP-321 as his daughter, even though she's this 10-foot tall exoskeleton meat monster.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
a good father, right? I mean,
yeah. He went to all these lengths to bring her back to life. And
so he sacrificed his living child to bring this one to half life.
Maybe he's not so good.
And he doesn't even pull some strings to give her a name. He's still just calling her SCP.
Yeah. She never really got a name. So Adam begged for her freedom from the Foundation, but was denied. So he did what any man would do. What?
What the fuck is she going to do?
Well, she still needs to be studied. She regenerates and everything, and SCP's like, we got stuff to learn from her, so we got to...
No. She's too tall for modern society.
Yes. So Adam did what any man would do, and he worked harder for the Foundation to get a promotion so that he could get her out. So he got a promotion to personnel director. And he submitted his request again. And it was denied.
All right.
Yeah. So he worked even harder. And he became a site director. And he made the request again. And he was denied. So then he worked so hard that he got promoted to the O5 Council. And if anyone knows anything about the SCP universe, the O5 Council is like the secretive council that runs the whole fucking shenan.
The cabal.
And nobody knows the members, but they pull all the string.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're represented in the conference room by just like these flat black obelisks with like names with like a number on it. Like nobody ever sees anybody's face. Okay.
Yeah, they all have like code names. Like I didn't look them up. But, like the Gobbler, let's call it one.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So this council is like super secretive, and all the redacted stuff that you see on the SCP website, all this information is available to the O5 Council, so they know it all.
Oh, so their special power is the ability to see through Sharpie.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
So even when he was on the O5 Council, like the highest you could be in this whole foundation, he asked for his daughter to be released, and they said she was never your daughter at all. And they saw his sentimentality as a weakness, and they had him killed.
Wow. Okay. That's...
Yeah. They
could have just not promoted him. He'd asked like three times already. I'm sure they knew he was going to ask again.
They keep promoting him after he's just like, I need more power to get my daughter out of here. And then just like, good enough reason.
Yeah. Here you go. Yeah. Here's more executive power. Like, let my daughter go. You seem unstable. We should probably have you killed.
Their fault they're at this point having to kill one of their own, right?
Yeah, it's very cloak and dagger. Like, we don't even know the people who are getting him killed, so
yeah.
But that's what happened. This is how the SCP Foundation works, so you can see why Dr. Jack Bright couldn't get his brother out of there,
right?
I don't think Jack Bright was ever on the O5 council or up that high.
Yeah, whoa, bro, you were never on the O5, okay? Like, you can't just get your brother out of his iron lung, okay?
Hey, okay, I'll settle for just making him brain dead.
That's the SCP spirit, bro.
They mentioned that, like, in his room, all that plays is, like, child's TV shows on a loop. And he kind of watches them slack-jawed, like that's his only entertainment. But then in certain stories...
Hell, right?
Yeah, well, he seems happy. Is like that's why he was living in hell, like in eternal agony, and now he just doesn't notice his pain. I guess
he stopped complaining as soon as we made him fucking brain dead. It's the best decision we ever made.
Yeah,
HR's finally off my ass.
Yeah, that's mental institutions in the 1800s too. Corpus callosum. If his left and right brain are not attached, then he doesn't complain anymore.
That's perfect. There's a good boy. You're drooling. You're drooling a bit.
Yeah. So that is the brother. That's the sister. They're both living within the SCP Foundation and are SCPs themselves. We have two more siblings, Mikkel and Olivia, that work for the Foundation and are not SCPs. They're kind of like opposites.
What did you say Olivia's last name was?
Pierce.
That's the girl from Doom. Doom 2016. It's Olivia Pierce.
Oh, maybe that's where they got it from.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, the Tilda Swinton woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. Mikkel Bright is one of the best field agents. So they're like the soldiers slash agents of the SCP army rather than the scientist role.
Sure.
Okay. He can catch other people's brothers is his job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Putting brothers in cages. That's what it says on his jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the loop around the patch. It's all in Latin.
What's brother in Latin? I have no idea.
Hermano.
Ferry or something, probably.
El Hermano in the barcade.
Mm-hmm.
So Mikkel is known to some as Agent Cowboy.
Yeehaw?
Okay. Yeehaw from Louisiana.
He's like the rootin', tootin', shootin' gun guy, and he's really good at his job.
Oh, Yosemite Sam works for the SCP?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Tarnation.
Oh, real name.
He's a little more cerebral, I guess, than Yosemite Sam. Yosemite Sam always kind of seems like he gets fooled at the end.
Sure, but, yeah.
He was started by Bugs Bunny, whose IQ was 206, I believe, so
yeah,
that's totally
true.
Fair. But Yosemite Sam has had multiple careers internationally, so I think he's still a successful man.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. But Bugs Bunny could probably be an SCP. Like, I feel like he's got to be Euclid, right? At the very least, because
yeah,
he can tunnel out of anywhere. But he's like a trickster god, right? He's like, he's definitely pretty top tier.
Pretty much, yeah.
He can stop a bullet by putting a carrot in the end of a barrel.
But he can do whatever he wants, so that's why it's so hard to control, because even if you can hear that he wants to go to Pismo Beach for all the clams he can eat, he's never going to make it, so you have no idea where he's going to end up.
Well, he always takes a wrong turn.
Yeah. In New Mexico, for some reason.
The center of the universe.
Ah, yes.
SCP-3940 seems to be a Bugs Bunny statue that shows up in places.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah. I Googled it, and I knew it had to exist already.
Perfect. Yeah.
All art is derivative.
Yeah. So Mikkel, he's the rootin' tootin'. I love the SCP Foundation.
Agent Cowboy.
Get shit done. Agent Cowboy. There's some theories that he's already on the O5 Council because he's just so good at his job and so well respected. But we don't know.
Yeah. It sounds like the nickname Cowboy always reminds me of like Europeans making fun of Americans in movies.
Haha, Cowboy. Yeah.
Oh, you've got SCP Berlin here, Agent Cowboy, and he's just like,
Claire Pierce, she's on the opposite side. I kind of agree with her more, especially after reading what we did already. She disagrees with the actions of the Foundation and feels that they're morally wrong.
Agent Boy Cow, I see, the reverse of Cowboy.
her family's been pretty messed up thanks to the Foundation. She lost her father, her brother and sister have been wrecked irreversibly. So she joined something called the Serpent's Hand, and in the fanfic, that's an organization dedicated to revealing SCP secrets. So they get to pull out the redacted stuff and kind of overthrow SCP.
Oh,
Here's a little thing to chew on. Where do you think they would put the hand on a snake? On the tail? Or one just poking right out of the middle of it?
That's a good question. The Serpent's Hand.
Back, like
I think on the back, yeah. Like,
yeah, like, so like a shipping crane, right?
Oh no, I was thinking like that you're picturing like another branching snake kind of, but like a two-headed snake, but one of the heads is a hand. I'm thinking more.
No, well, yes, but like on top of the head to like basically like a crane basically. Like, lift up snake containers and place them on a snake ship.
I think back of the head like glued to the back of the hand so it can like flip around. It can only pick up stuff that it can't see cuz it's got to like do a 180 and grab it, you know?
Okay. So I just Googled what their logo is, and it's either a snake's head down, and then the snake's body kind of blossoms into a tree above it.
Okay.
Or it's a snake wrapped around a person's hand and like facing off the top of the hand.
Well, that's less exciting than Peter or Mai's ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they probably don't have a graphic design SCP in there at all.
No. Dude, you could be a star, man. I was, like, checking these YouTube videos and stuff, and the amount of views on just everything, like, it makes me tempted to make an SCP channel, dude.
Dog, how many, like, feisty SCP fans have we dealt with in the past little while since you started doing this?
Yeah.
Like, clearly people love it.
There's a lot to it.
Find another outlet to talk about SCPs other than this podcast about SCPs.
It's, like, it's what the people want. The people demand it.
So that's the whole family. Now we've met them. They don't really talk much about the mom, but she was a doctor too. I don't even know if she's still alive at this point, but father's dead. Brother is taking on illnesses for people. Sister is held up by scaffolding, but still alive. Then there's the rootin' tootin' cowboy boy who might be on the O5, but bang, is bang. Still helping. And Claire Pierce, who's going against the SCP.
Right.
Yeah. Well, she's seeking information. She's against them from within, but has to remain employed so that she can still steal secrets, correct?
Yeah, I don't even know if she's still employed or not. I didn't look into her that much. She was just kind of a footnote in this episode.
Intercepts their faxes.
Yeah. So now that we've met the family, I want to talk about the main topic of this episode, Dr. Jack Bright.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you guys are big SCP fans, you know a lot about him, probably more than me, but we'll get a good introduction to who he is and why he is now. So, like most of his family, he joined the SCP Foundation, and he joined as a junior researcher. And he was pretty unremarkable until he was put in charge of taking care of a necklace called SCP-963, which I posted into our chat.
Gotcha. I see it.
It's like a ruby with 13 diamonds surrounding it.
Sure.
And
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like the heart of the sea from Titanic.
Okay, yeah.
Or like a ruby in the middle of a dream catcher.
Yeah, a dream catcher I see for sure.
Yeah.
So the way that they found this is SCP-963 had been found in an apartment of a guy who looked like a cultist. There was runes on the wall, like in blood. There was a bunch of magic books. Really like a cultist doing a ritual type guy. And they found it in a dead guy's hand surrounded by candles over like a pentagram. And the guy appeared to have killed himself while holding the pendant.
Gotcha.
Okay.
It seemed to be some ploy to turn the guy immortal, but it didn't really work.
Yeah.
They found him dead.
To make myself immortal, I will stab myself in the heart.
Would you need to tell your landlord if you wanted to put blood pentagrams everywhere?
Yeah. I don't know if you care at that point.
Yeah. Well, no, if you think you're going to be immortal, you'd still care. Like,
yeah, you'd want to avoid litigation.
If you're going to live forever.
On, dude.
Yeah. If I was going to live forever, I wouldn't worry about getting the money to pay the security deposit, but
you want to live forever in debtor's jail, James? Wow.
Wow. Yep.
So Dr. Jack Bright, he's in good standing with the Foundation, and he's given the task of researching the amulet that was found in this cultist's hand.
Sure.
The first remarkable thing about it is it was completely indestructible. You can hit it with a diamond pickaxe, and it still wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
The strongest type of pickaxe.
Twice with a diamond pickaxe.
Still wouldn't, nothing would happen.
Okay.
So there seemed to be something about this, but he couldn't really figure out what was going on. So he's been
the least odd thing to have at the SCP. It's like, here's a gem you can't destroy. We're terrified of it. It's your job now, dude.
Yep. And honestly, there wasn't much security for it because they didn't really know what it was. Other than being indestructible, it was just a gem. So okay. He spent a couple years, no huge fines. Yep, still doesn't break when I hit it.
Can I?
Clocked out at 5, wasn't broken.
Yeah. Can I just say, like, they found it on a dead guy.
Yeah.
That's all they had. And they're like, let's run some tests. Like, give it a little acid bath, you know, bounce some UV rays off it, see if it's radioactive at all. Nope. Who was the guy who was like, let's try smashing it? Right? Like, it was just like, hey, there's just this thing. Like, it's clearly valuable, even if it's not magic in any way or spooky in any way. We could probably sell it at a pawn shop for a couple $100.
Oh, yeah.
And people are just like, no, let's smash it.
Yep. Somehow they found, I don't know, if the rootin' tootin' cowboy was the first one who barged his way in there, he tried biting it with his teeth.
All right, just started blasting.
That necklace had a gun, I swear. You all saw it.
Yeah. Sprinkle this crack on it.
So, one day they were just transporting this necklace from one area to another. So Jack Bright's walking down the hallway, and he decided rather than in a bag to carry it or wheel it on something, he carried it with his bare hand, and that would change his life forever.
Okay. That's funny. It's almost what I thought. I was going to ask, like, oh, did he just put it around his neck because his hands were full? And that was, like, the thing that got him the immortal?
Well, we still haven't triggered the immortal thing yet. Oh. He's just holding it at this point. And he keeps walking. And he goes past the containment chamber of SCP-076-2, also known as Abel. I sent a picture of it. You can picture a barbarian from basically anything. This guy, Abel, is an immortal, hyper-violent warrior that can summon blades out of another dimension, so you can just reach behind him and pull out a giant blade.
A nightmare at airport security.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, Abel's only, like, motivations are just to kill things. Like, he just loves blood sport.
Okay.
So he broke out right as Dr. Bright was walking by with his family luck. He's just thump-da-dum, walking with his metal, and then this giant, muscly barbarian guy with a huge sword comes out of a door.
Quick, get behind your unbreakable pendant, Jack.
And Jack gets sliced down.
Ooh.
And he dies with the pendant in his hand. And then this SCP-076, they have the whole containment procedure. They send in the troops. A ton of people die. There's a whole wing of the facility that just gets completely wrecked before they somehow get Abel under containment. I don't know how they did it, but they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I take a stab at what the twist may be here, since his brother or his uncle has already cured death in a stillborn baby?
Oh, so you think his brother is going to save him?
Well, I mean, a stillborn baby is dead, so he can clearly bring the dead back. Do they use his brother to revive him and then turn him into an SCP like he did his sister? Nope.
Ah, no. There's actually, it'll be a few days before anything even happens. We know he will be immortal, but the way that he becomes immortal is days later, there's a few D-class personnel. So D-class are like the prisoners and stuff that they...
Right, yeah.
These are the meat bodies, like they can just throw him into dangerous situations and not care.
Just to see what happens, you know?
Yeah. And one unlucky D-class member known as D1-113 found the amulet that Bright had been holding when he died. And he picked up the amulet and went through an intense change in personality immediately. His brain had been completely wiped and replaced with Dr. Bright's consciousness.
Okay.
Oh!
So this D-class wasn't even supposed to know who Dr. Bright was, but he knew about Dr. Bright, and he was asking all these questions only Dr. Bright would know, so he was brought in for questioning. And the Foundation confirmed that it was Dr. Bright inside the mind of this D-class personnel.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's still confusing how and why this happened, but we'll get into it right away.
Because I got what I'm mostly wondering. You said that, and then I was going to be like, oh, the twist would be that it wasn't Dr. Bright in the first place, but somebody did that to Dr. Bright, right? The dead guy that they originally found the amulet on. But if it is Dr. Bright, then I don't know. What happened to that guy?
Yeah. The Foundation did more research. They discovered that the original cultist was trying to achieve immortality by storing his own soul in the amulet, but he made one fatal flaw. He killed himself. Ah. And you can't kill yourself. It has to be someone else who kills you to initiate the ritual. And then once your soul is stored in that thing, there's no escape.
So
like, Dr. Bright can't just kill himself out of it.
So the blood pentagrams and the candles was all for show. It was just the only thing that you needed was to die by somebody else's blade pulled from another dimension.
Well, it seems like the cultist did all the work. He just didn't sign his name at the end.
Okay.
And all this magical energy was in this thing.
Yeah.
And then Dr. Bright just did the last step. So he got stuck with the whole thing.
He was leaving class and the assignment was due and the top paper just didn't have a name on it, so he just wrote his name
Yeah. Like the whole volcano was built with the baking soda in it. He just hadn't dropped the vinegar in yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
So how does this thing work? Like, there's a lot of ways that it could work, and I have four rules that kind of help us answer all those questions.
Okay.
So number one, if anyone touches the amulet, it causes their mind to be totally wiped and replaced with Dr. Bright's mind.
Oh, he could replicate.
One time is Dr. Bright's soul now. It's not like someone else gets murdered holding the amulet and they swap out. It's just that
Dr. Bright got the spell. And two, if the necklace is removed, the body becomes a lifeless husk until the necklace is put back on. So it's Dr. Bright is hopping from anyone who touches it.
Okay.
I was thinking it was he was like a, it wasn't his soul, but it was like a soul printer. And anytime anybody touched it, it would, there's just a million Dr. Brights running around out there because they all touched the amulet.
It does work that way, but only if the medallion remains on the host for 30 days, it no longer needs the medallion to keep it there.
Okay.
So if he put it on me for 30 days, then I would be Dr. Bright forever. Then he could put it on you for 30 days. You'd be Dr. Bright forever. And he could replicate himself.
Gotcha.
SCP Foundation really doesn't want this. Yes, Peter.
Fair.
There's at least two Dr. Brights now.
No. There's one Dr. Bright. The first Dr. Bright was killed.
Yeah, that body's gone.
But how do they know the 30-day limit of the next fucking Dr. Bright stamp that you can put in someone's brain?
What do you mean? Oh, how did they figure that out? We might have jumped ahead in the storyline here because I just mentioned that. But.
Yeah, I'm explaining. I'll get to the last point and maybe it'll come all together. If Dr. Bright is killed in it, like his consciousness will remain in the amulet until another being comes in contact with it. So let's say you were Dr. Bright, you got killed, the amulet's laying there. Even if it's a million years later and a caveman walks by and picks it up, then they're Dr. Bright all of a sudden.
Okay. I see.
Wait, we're going back to cavemen? Shit, dude. That's hype. So is he immortal in the traditional sense, or is he only immortal in that, hey, he could just give the amulet to a new guy? Like, hey, think fast, intern, you know, and just throws it to the new guy.
Yeah, he can do that. And then he'll just, like, change bodies, and that person loses their life, basically.
Yeah. But is he, like, traditionally immortal? Like, if he puts it on me and leaves it on me for 30 days, does my body age?
We never find out because the SCP Foundation really feared him multiplying himself. So every 30 days, he's provided with a new body.
Oh, that's
convenient. So rather than ever letting his consciousness like stick to a body, they just keep him the amulet moving to new D-class all the time.
And they're really banking on no leap years really messing them up 1 year, eh? Like, oh, shit. Yeah. What day is it? Did we get that guy his new body? Oh, fuck.
We only have one set of a 1 and a 6 birthday candles, and frankly, we have no idea what to do with them. Those are not. Yeah. So, like, it's just better to keep him here.
Yeah, this makes him really powerful. They're worried about him because, one, he could duplicate himself. If he could make 100 Dr. Brights over 100 months, then that could be really powerful.
I think you'd catch somebody if it was almost 2 years and you were just like trying to hide 100 copies, 99 copies. You'd get.
Another thing he could do is he could give it to a super strong SCP and take over the brain of an SCP. So like that killer dinosaur that wants to kill everything, there is a story where he enters that mind that I read today. And it ends up that monster is like so far out of human experience that even though he was in the monster's mind, it eventually rejected him. But that's a whole other story by itself. But,
that was the Mary Sue monster anyway, so I wouldn't expect it to. What happens when two Mary Sues go head to head, right?
Yeah. They do put him, since he can't die too, he ends up being put head to head with like a lot of monsters. Oh, there's like YouTube, Dr. Bright versus this guy, or Dr. Bright versus this guy. Dr. Bright just never dies, so he kind of always wins.
But I mean, they could just kill, like the monster could kill Dr. Bright, and then they just throw the amulet in a vault to never be seen again, right? And he's like effectively dead.
Yeah, they could. But from Dr. Bright's perspective, a million years would pass by and someone would touch it and he would just wake up like nothing happened.
Yeah, well, that's when your theoretical neo caveman would eventually get it, right?
Yeah, given enough time, someone will always touch the amulet, I guess, is his perspective.
I guess. I feel like if I, yeah. I like to, what I like to do when I go to cottages, which I do sometimes, I like to pick up a rock, throw it into the middle of the lake, and tell the people that I'm with that I'm the last person that will ever touch that rock. Because I probably am. You know? Like, it's a random lake in the middle of nowhere.
Cabin?
Yeah. I guess given, like, our short lifespan versus infinity, like...
Yeah, and, you know, someone's not going to see a rock when they're snorkeling with their friends and be like, I want to go down and pick up that rock. But somebody, if they see a shining amulet in the bottom of the lake, they might do that. But I still feel like you could throw it in the ocean, weigh it down a little, you know, encase it in concrete, then throw the concrete in the ocean. It's like, we're good. We're good for as long as we care anyway.
Coral would grow around it or something. And then since those are alive, Dr. Bright would then just be a coral forever. And then again, but eternally harmless. So then, your ocean idea still works.
Yeah.
I guess why he's never been locked away forever, because at first they really didn't trust him. There's every 30 days he had to be killed and add to a new body. So there's a lot of restrictions on him at first. He wasn't allowed around certain SCPs because in case he would take over them and try and destroy the world.
Right.
But over time, they
know the guy. Why do they think he's suddenly so hell-bent on destroying the world? I guess I guess their whole thing is being paranoid, like... Right.
Yeah. An amulet that brings them back to life, and they live in the world of like weird artifacts that make people do bad things or have bad things happen.
True.
So all of his coworkers aren't sure to trust him, but over time they learn to trust him, and the O5 kind of lift the restrictions. It kind of wore on him, on his psyche, to know that everyone he ever meets he'll outlive. Every 30 days he's getting killed. That probably doesn't feel
like an easy way to do it. Like, just just shoot him in the back of the head when he's asleep.
Yeah, that I was watching like the infographics show have a lot of SCP stuff, and I was watching a video on it, and it like the info for him having to be killed every 30 days was a guy sneaking up behind him with a knife. But I hope that's not how it happened.
Well, it's not like it's like, well, man, sorry, I understand it's 2019, but 30 days are up. It's back to the gallows, the highest form of technology.
Yeah.
I love the idea of really like make it look natural all the time. Like leave a bunch leave a bunch of ice cubes at the top of a set of stairs and, you know, banana peel in the changing room. And, you just take off all the, you go to the pool and you remove all the no running signs and the no diving at the shallow end signs. So he gets confused.
Pair of running shoes and a pair of scissors just like in every room in front of him.
His like personality as time goes on kind of becomes more callous and jaded, but he's also kind of got like a prankster feel to him. He's very eccentric. He cares about his work, he gets it done, but he's also kind of crazy.
So the last picture you sent us is very very jokester prankster look to him.
Yeah, because the way we're going to finish this episode is there's like a list of hundreds of things that Dr. Bright is not allowed to do at the SCP Foundation.
Okay.
And all of these rules were made because he did these things.
Okay.
And some of them are like jokey and funny, but some of them are like straight up like, oh, that's kind of murder, dude. I guess if you have to kill someone and steal somebody else's body every 30 days, human life doesn't have as much value to you.
You got to come to terms with murdering because you've been doing it all this time. Because you could opt out at any... so I don't know if you know this, but is he conscious in the amulet?
No. So it's like when he dies, it just... By the time he gets a new body, it like he wakes up. Like it's an instant. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. But if he waited 100 years or he waited 30 seconds, he wouldn't know the difference.
So he could literally opt out of killing people every month anytime he wants.
Yeah, there actually is a really good little short story that I read with him where he talks to another guy, and he basically justifies it because of all the good work. I know it's not going to come out like justified when I say it, but of all the good work he does for the SCP Foundation,
no.
He said he's taking over.
You don't understand. I made my younger brother blind, deaf, and mute. Okay, I'm a pretty good guy. Okay,
he goes into depth and explains like. The bodies that he's taking of like, this was a D-class personnel. This person like sexually molested children. Like, did he really need his mind anyways? Yeah. Maybe I'm going to put it to better use. And it's kind of gross and nasty, but
yeah,
that's what that is.
I mean, it's like a morally gray institution, let's say.
Yeah. And then
I mean, there are like, machines or things capable of destroying all life in all universes contained at this facility. Yeah. So they definitely do some good. Like,
yeah. And that's the, and then he starts explaining it to this guy who just met him. And at this point, like, he'd been there for 200 years. He's like, let me put it into perspective for you. In 50 years, I'll still be personnel director and you will have saved up retirement and you'll be thinking about going home to like spend the rest of your life with your family. In 75 years, you might be almost dead. Your mind will be going away and I'll still be here doing this. In 100 years, you will be dead and buried and I will still be doing this. In 200 years, so he's like the heart of the foundation. Like, he is the one person who's seen from his father founding, being a part of founding it, to whenever it's going to end.
I got to say,
grown old, 30 days, I'm going to have your body anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I really thought you were going to say, like, that short story ended, like, he was justifying it, and then he, you know, threw the necklace at the guy, think fast, intern. But,
you keep saying that, but, and that was the first thing that I was going to put on the list, he's not allowed to do.
Oh, yeah.
yeah. Is that for interns, you toss it to them, and then just take over their body.
Okay. the two things, like, I don't know what his dominant hand is, but he'd have to, like, with his dominant hand, toss the amulet, and then just before the intern catches it, like, shoot himself in the head, right? As, like, the sick, the new kid hazing prank.
Oh, yeah, because he has to die, right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
exactly. So right before he catches it, just pull the trigger.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, I mean, there's that prank could work in a wide range of varieties, too. Like, just like, hey, welcome to the SCP, man. I'll be your guide first day. Don't worry, it wasn't so long ago that I was in your shoes, you know. So, here's the calf. Here's the top of the stairs. Sometimes people, hey, I just want you to know, if anything should ever happen to me while you're working here, you take this amulet and you give it to my wife, okay? But just make sure you grab it. I don't want anybody else getting it. Oh, who left these ice cubes at the top of this flight of stairs here? Oh, my God.
So he doesn't have to kill himself because, in theory, it would be before the 30 days. So his current body would just become a lifeless husk.
Yeah.
It's only after the 30 days where...
But it's, you want to prank him. The prank is that the guy's offing himself. Also, as personnel director... Over an infinite amount of time, you really think he could like stack the staff to make it like people who would let him get away with multiplying himself and stuff, right? Like, he's the guy who's hiring and in charge of promotions.
Yeah, the O5 keep an eye on him, but he gets away with a lot, and he's honestly so loved within the SCP Foundation that he is able to get a new body from every 30 days. He is able to do these crazy pranks, but
yeah,
he still
everybody loves his crazy murder pranks. Such a scamp.
But also, I like the fact that he's personnel director, and it's just like, yeah, cool, man, you can do anything you want, and after this training session, never trust me again. And then he throws himself down a flight of stairs, right?
Yeah. So Dr. Bright is not allowed to send anything into the past, future, or to alternate dimensions.
And
that sounds normal. That's one of the rules.
Do you have what he sent, or were all of these kind of just like vague?
This was vague. This is exactly what was written in the entry.
Okay.
So he can't send his amulet into the past to his mom to then fuck himself when he shows up in a DeLorean, right?
Right.
Right. Okay. Hey.
All right, not to distract you guys too much, but I can drop the whole list into our chat.
Just got a bunch of tilds from you.
Yeah, you don't have to read it, but I'm going to give you some, but I just put it there so you guys can have context.
Okay, I'll take it from you.
Perfect.
Dr. Bright is not allowed to feed anything with peanut butter to Kane. And Kane is a golden retriever head. In a suit.
There you go.
Cool.
So, Dr. Bright is not the lord of Rodley Might, and hereby is banned from playing Dungeons & Dragons and making use of SCPs to simulate the real danger. SCP-963, which is his pendant, is not to be given away as a good luck charm, and it's also not to be played hot potato with.
Oh.
Oh, I got one that's good for me here. For the Emperor is not an acceptable justification for any decision. There's a shout out to the Warhammer fans.
Yep. The Foundation credit cards or expense accounts are not to be used to purchase pornography. Not even anomalous pornography.
It's like 18 hours long of just like different orbs of light swirling around. It's like, I'm not aroused, but I'm told it's porn.
Yeah. I like this one. There was like a bunch for this, but I just only took a few of them. The foundation motto is secure, contain, protect, and not any of the following. Stab, carry on powerfully. Fuck trees, I climb clouds, motherfucker. Society of creepy perverts. The FBI or a bunch of pansies. Who wants to see what I can make the president do in public? For the horde.
For you.
Yep. Slapstick, clowns, and puns. Seduction, coitus, and pregnancy.
Hell yeah.
Will it blend?
Will it blend?
Snap, crackle, and pop.
And I would like to submit for consideration putting brothers in cages as the motto.
Yes.
Oh, I've got one here as well, if you don't mind. SCP-963 is not a soul gem. Making a contract with Dr. Bright will not turn you into a, in quotes, magical girl. So, no in real life Sailor Moon, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's just messing with people. Dr. Bright is not allowed to upload visual memetic kill agents to 4chan, 7chan, or any image board. Well, okay, maybe to 4chan. It'll be doing the gene pool a service. The SCP Foundation does not have any such position as chief defenestrator.
Throw people through windows is defenestration. Yep. I got a good one here. SCP-001 is not Dr. Bright's penis. The hammer is not his penis. Dr. Bright is not allowed to use his genitals for construction purposes.
I have that one written down. It was the one after next. Excessive force is not the same as the force. Therefore, using it does not make Dr. Bright a Jedi.
I have a good one here. Just in the fact that we were pretty intent on tormenting interns. The following are not appropriate sources for D-class personnel. Temp agencies, Craigslist, reality show talent pools,
Jerry Springer taping,
yeah.
orphans, urchins, and ragamuffins. I had that one written down too.
Yeah, ragamuffins ain't no good to nobody. They're all a bunch of camps, and they're untrustworthy. Those sons of bitches who scratched up the paint job at the car wash.
Yeah. SCP-963, so that's the one that he has, is not the soul gem. Bright does not have access to the Infinity Gauntlet. Please stop glaring at people who annoy you and snapping. Dr. Bright is not allowed to play SCP roulette with SCP-173. That's the one that snaps your neck if you don't look at it. Where he puts on a light switch and a combination of D-class personnel. So flicks off the lights and they get their neck snapped. Dr. Bright is no longer allowed to commit seppuku, even if he has an audience, especially a captive one. Or he just kills himself and gets reborn. The last one I had here was kind of current. It was the last one on the list. There are no plans to shut down any site to prevent COVID-19 infection. That being said, if certain staffers do not start washing their goddamn hands after using the bathroom, Dr. Bright has full permission to be himself at them. I'm looking at you, Magnus. Anyway, that's Dr. Bright. He became immortal, and he's kind of just a person who can't die, but the SCP Foundation loves, so he gets away with all these crazy, wacky things at the Foundation.
Big, wacky prankster.
Yeah. And there's a lot more stories of Jack Bright. I might go into another episode sometime where he has more interactions with the SCPs themselves, because I think that's where it gets really interesting. But there's a lot to get to know just from the guy himself.
Yeah.
I
mean,
just walking with a concrete thing.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy more learning why those rules exist regarding other SCPs now that I know him a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they very much feel like the coffee is hot label on the outside of a McDonald's cup sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, we didn't think people were going to eat Tide Pods, so we didn't tell them not to.
Yeah, exactly. We have a thing of Tide Pods. They have like the most annoying like child safety latch zipper thing on the top now because kids were eating
I've been trying to feed them to the neighbor kids all day.
Yeah. I can't get through it. It's too complex for me.
Jack Bright, since you can change bodies all the time, he might just show up to work as like a house cat one day. Who knows? Like, the possibilities are really endless.
Or that snake crane that we talked about earlier.
True.
Yeah. Or he's just like teasing his sister. He's just like, snake hand. Hey, look at me, Marie.
So this Jack Bright and SCP is definitely something I did because I heard a lot of interest out in the community for people who are listening here. So if you guys like this, let us know. If there's things that you want to hear about, let us know. I know we always get recommendations for different, like SCP-999 is one that I need to do. There's the one, the death dude that gives you a cigarette. There's a bunch of them, but let us know what you want to hear.
The death dude that gives you a cigarette.
Yeah, we came up on the Twitch stream that we had the other day. That episode will be coming out at some point on the feed. Not sure when. It was pretty fun. Thanks everyone who showed up. Thanks everyone who sent in mail to be read on air and online. If you guys want to send some mail at home, you can reach us at contact@loreboys.com. Or you could head over to Discord and just ask us questions there, and sometimes we'll pin them to answer later on the episodes. So go to loreboys.com/about. You can find all our socials and our Discord link there, and come join the party. We have more people joining the Discord every day. The last Saturday we were up till like 3 a.m. our time, just playing Jackbox and getting real silly with it. So
yeah, all the memes from there. If you hear anything about us talking about Connecticut or Ben Shapiro's sister, that all came from the listener Jackbox we played.
I will never think of Connecticut the same again.
Lots of great slogans.
Before, can't stop now.
Connecticut cut my balls.
That's what happened there.
Peter, you got anything you want to plug?
Just at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I know some people have come through the messaging system on the app because nobody uses the browser site. So yeah, that's where you can see our title cards, and then announcements all go up. So if you want to stay like current, Instagram is a good place to do it as well, because I always put up a post the day before an episode, the day of an episode, and like just like to keep you ahead of anything. If you're just like on the metro or on the subway or something, you check the story. That is the most up-to-date way, or the best way to stay up-to-date, rather, is just through the Instagram and then or Discord.
Yeah, Discord, we're all on. I forsook all social media at the top of the year, so I haven't really been on Twitter for anybody who follows me there and is wondering, why am I not responding to your tagged posts? It's because of that. Thanks, big shout out to our patrons, patreon.com/theloreboys. It's a great way to support the show. If you don't want to add Jamie on Steam and buy him games there, you can send us money every month, and a small portion of that goes to buying Jamie games. So thanks to all our existing patrons, any future patrons, we love you all. Anybody who doesn't trust Patreon, we of course have Loreboys Prime, a service that we've always offered here. This week, it's kind of another call to action for you guys. We need interns, honestly. Jamie's been wiping their minds, a lot of our old ones. But don't worry, now we have a rule. We gave him a rule, said, hey, no more wiping the minds of our interns to replace with yourself. So we need some people to come to the Loreboys HQ and come pick up all these goddamn ice cubes at the top of the stairs, man. It is a health hazard. Like, OSHA has been on our asses for so long now.
Yeah, I honestly don't even really need to switch bodies, but I put on a little COVID weight, so the fastest way to trim down is just going to be taking over.
Yeah. We will secure, contain, and starve you to get you beach ready for Jamie for the Jamie takeover.
Yes,
maybe not that brutal, but if we could just get a procession of slightly thinner men until we steal his fitness goal from someone else, then that's the best way to do it, I think.
We'll get there.
We really need the progress shots for the Instagram, too, so we do want to get them kind of like ordered properly, you know?
Yeah.
8 pictures of completely different men.
Not just men, either. I think that constitutes a Loreboys.
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 Out.
Boys!
Boys.
Out.
Lore boys.
Lore boys, boys.
Lore boys.
Boys, boys.
Lore boys.
God bless America.
My name's Ethan. I think Peter is a sorcerer, but a sorcerer of casting love spells.
My name's James, and I just opened the wrong browser, and there are still pictures of Ben Shapiro's sister.
My name is Peter, and I am a sorcerer of love spells, except the catch is I could never find love myself, as the monkey's paw granted me the power to bequeath it to others.
So you never have a shot with Abby Shapiro, is what we're saying?
No.
My name's Ethan. My cat is sitting on the desk like a rotisserie chicken underneath my lamp right now.
My name is James, and I have a rotisserie chicken sitting in some cat litter right now.
Nice.
My name is Peter, and I actually did a dry rub of cat litter onto my chicken, which I need to rotisserie after the show.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.